We're back. It is August the 26th. It is the dawn of a new football, basketball, high school and college sports season, and Sports Look returns to Care Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Gus Counts to my left, Tom Counts with you, and Sports Look this season being brought to you by our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank. Wow. So, Gus, last time we were here was back at the end of March, and we were wrapping up the basketball season, and it was, you know, the end of a crazy, insane year in so many ways. And I think we, you, I, and everybody listening is looking forward to maybe a little more semblance of normalcy here this year.
Yeah, you know, last time we were here, we were talking about high school sports. We had just crowned an NAIA men's and women's national championship, you know, tournament winner. And it was just a crazy year. And you know what else we were doing last time we were here?
I'm afraid to ask.
We were getting ready to play college football in 2 days.
That's true.
Right? Like this, we did Sports Look, the final Sports Look wrapped up in, what, two days later. We were up at Wilcox Stadium, and it was Hastings that came to town. And
well, the exhibition game with Hastings.
They were more of a speed bump than anything. And, you know, so that just shows you how much craziness there is. But when it's all said and done, we're a little more back.
Yes.
So it, at this point, things feel good.
Yeah, and while we were away, a lot of things did go on. You know, we got the baseball season underway. You know, we were talking about as we got out of here last March, man, the Royals took a gamble, extended Salvador Perez to a 4-year, $82 million contract, and all he's done since then is play spectacular baseball.
Yeah, how great was that deal? Because now you're looking back on it and you're saying, if you wouldn't have paid him at that time, you're going to make it to the end of the year, and he's on pace to, what, he has the most home runs he's had in a season, I feel like, or he's just right there. He's got an outside chance of breaking the team record for home runs in a season. And more so than that, by the end of the year, he could pull to second place all time for Royals home runs.
Yeah, behind George Brett.
Yeah, behind George Brett. And so, I mean, maybe that solidifies
Nobody's catching.
Right, well, but it also solidifies that Salvador is probably the best Royal of all time, right? Well, that's going to be a debate.
We'll talk about that a lot, maybe, this year.
But, you know, if you don't sign him to that extension, and people were saying back when they signed him to that deal, they said, oh, 4 years, $82 million is too much. Salvador's on the back end of his career. He's not going to be a great catcher anymore. But he's probably on pace to win another Gold Glove this year. He catches 5-6 days a week. And when he's not catching, he's DHing. I mean, yesterday he DH'd and launched another home run, and everybody said, yeah, he was in the Crawford boxes at Houston. I'm telling you, that thing was out of any ballpark yesterday. So, again, Salvador has been probably the lone bright spot this year for the Royals, at least at the major league level.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's maybe another couple of them. I think that Whit Merrifield continues to play, I think, just extremely good ball. And maybe following Salvador Perez and Whit, maybe the other face of the program, maybe becoming Lopez.
Yeah, Nicky Lopez. So last time we were here, we were talking about opening day was going to be April 1st against the Rangers. And about this time earlier this year, so March 25th or so, the Royals were finishing their roster, and it looked like Nicky Lopez was going to start in Omaha because he didn't make the opening day roster. Then we would find out that, go figure, Adalberto Mondesi would have an injury, it would open up a spot for Lopez, and Lopez would go on to have a fantastic season for him, right? And some of these new pitchers that have come in for the Royals this season, some of the young guys are starting to figure out, you know, Daniel Lynch is pitching well, Bubik is pitching a little better, and so you're starting to see some of these young arms get worked in there.
The Royals did make a few big moves, though, with, Jorge Soler,
yeah,
having been traded away. Let's face it, they had to get something while the getting was good.
Right. You know, Jorge started to warm up after the All-Star break, so you got a little something in return for him. You got rid of Duffy just to basically help him out. So, yeah, And the Solaire to Atlanta deal hasn't been fantastic, but it's been good enough, and I think it's what Atlanta has been looking for, is a nice power bat to come off the bench.
So there have been so many things that have gone on, you know, while we were away. And
did you watch any of the Summer Olympics?
You know, hardly.
Okay.
A little. Not a lot.
A tiny bit. I'm more of a Winter Olympic person.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with that.
Like, I'm not big on the whole track and field thing. Like, it's kind of like NASCAR, right? We're going to go in a big circle and see what happens.
Turn
at the
left.
End.
All
yeah.
The basketball thing, you know, a lot of people were really into that. But for me, you know, when they use the pros, you know, and went to that instead of having just college guys, it lost a little of the luster.
See, and for me, I think the really only events I pay attention to in the, at least, Summer Olympics is probably the swimming.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some of that was the excitement, and it's been way longer than I'd like to admit now, of, you know, when Michael Phelps was going for all those golds. Was that Australia? Beijing? Something like that. And so I think that brought the excitement to swimming. But, I mean, that's really the only thing I'll catch in the evenings, you know, is
now,
a couple of those.
One thing I did do is just flipping through and when the Olympics were on, and I found myself sometimes caught watching remarkable sports that you don't think about as, what, you know, Olympic sports. You think the track and the fields and the, you know, and all of this. And I saw doubles badminton one night.
Oh, there you go.
That was the most remarkable sport to watch. I mean, everybody's played badminton in the backyard, you know, hit the little birdie back and forth. But these guys are, it was a whole different game than that. You know, and the some of the things that you just don't perceive as Olympic sports that they have brought in was kind of amusing.
And it was weird seeing the 2020 Olympics in 2021. That threw me for a minute.
So all those athletes that are hoping to come back actually have now a 3-year window to return to the next Olympic Games.
Oops.
Hey, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back. We've got lots more to talk about. We're going to talk about high school football, college football, things coming up this season. Sports Look continues right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on K-Radio. We are so glad to be back with you. New season getting underway, and Gus, for the high school football and volleyball and cross country, you know, the fall sports athletes practices underway and competitions. You know, volleyball competition begins next week. High school football begins next weekend here in the state of Kansas. It's gotten here in a hurry, and I think everybody's excited.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited, you know, to kind of see these sports get back to a little more normalcy this year. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how our local teams, you know, match up and things like that. We have a new mascot to see this year. We're going to see this is the dawn of the Phoenix this year. So, you know, just a lot of exciting things going on around the area. I believe there's no Jamboree, though, right?
Absolutely. They announced a day or so ago that the Jamboree, which had been scheduled, this week has been brutal. I don't know if you've been outside much, but for those of us who have, the temperature, the humidity has just been absolutely in a dangerous kind of a zone. And so people looking out for the athletes and the fans alike have decided Jamboree is going to be off this year, will not be made up. And so the local teams are just going to dive right in, you know, next Friday into the season.
Isn't it crazy that it's already that time of the year for us with football and stuff. And I believe, what, next Friday night we're going to have, you know, our first high school game.
Yes.
Next Saturday afternoon we're going to have our first home college football game. So it's just, again, from, what, the end of August to the end of March, it's just a sprint to the finish line.
Yeah, and around here you talk about the Atchison Phoenix, you know, longtime head coach Jim Smith has got those guys, you know, working very hard, brings back a strong bunch of guys at Moore Hill Mount Academy. It's do we call him second-year head coach, maybe?
Second-ish.
Yeah.
2B, maybe.
There you go. I haven't been here before, but the staff at Moore Hill Mount Academy got those guys going, and then at Atchison County, you know, Packers looking for a rebound kind of a season out there.
Yeah, and, you know, Moore Hill Mount Academy bringing back head coach Brandon Wilkes and his team coming off of what was a fantastic season for them last year, right? Going
Absolutely.
Undefeated, their only loss coming to Rossville to end the season. And, you know, we were there for that, what, late October, early November type of a game. Windy,
yes.
Cooler kind of a game.
Beautiful field, and not many teams go to Rossville and win games.
Yeah, and you talk about kind of a little bit of a turnover. Brandon Wilkes is still the football coach at Morehill Mount Academy, but he's also got some big shoes to step into this year, as he's going to step into that activities director role as a longtime activities director. Dick Henny Hockey went ahead and is going to enjoy a little retirement.
See, and there's a problem for us on Sports Talk. Coach, I still always call him Coach because over the years at MHMA, he coached a lot of sports, basketball included, and he was always a great and willing accomplice to be on a Sportlook program or two during the course of the year. We are going to miss him for that. I want to thank you for all of those years.
You loved when he would come back from their state meeting, right?
Oh, yeah.
And have all the notes about, all right, this school needed an opponent. This is how this game came about. We scheduled this one for 3 years from now. I mean, and that's the thing that I feel like a lot of people don't understand, is that it's not July 4th and we call up so-and-so and say, hey, do you guys want to play this year? You know, it's more in depth than that, right? It's, okay, we're going to play you guys in 2022 at your place, and then in 2023 you're going to come to our place type of a thing. I mean, there is a lot that goes into that schedule. And it, again, I saw yesterday on maybe K-Preps or something that there's already an 8-man school maybe looking for an opponent. I mean, sometimes those things happen.
The updates of what's going on. Here we go. Better quit. Here we go. The upcoming things of what's going on around the area. Tell you what you got to do. Don't forget to listen to Care Radio and pick up a copy of the Pigskin Preview. It's surrounded a lot of places around town. And, going to have capsule stories about all of the schools in the area. Going to get those schedules, and you can keep up to date with all of the things going on the MSCSports.net website with the schedule updates and stuff. Tell you what, with that in mind, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Lots more Sports Talk right after this. We shift our focus here on Sports Talk to Benedictine College fall sports and Raven football, and Gus, it will be our very first foray into ball games Saturday evening. Make sure that you're aware of that. Benedictine at William Penn. It is a 6 o'clock in the evening kickoff. Most of the conference games, what, 3 of the 5 are 6 o'clock games on the first week?
Yeah, and a lot of schools do that, right? And it's funny with their schedules. I believe Evangel, depending on where they get to play, like if they find a random middle school or a park that, you know, is open that evening, they'll be able to play a game. But, you know, some of those schools, like, they do. Culver Stockton, I believe, does. Peru State is one that does. Plays all of their September games at night, right? So everything before October 1st, if it's a home game, is a night game. So we just happened to run into it this year, and this will be the first time we've ever been to Penn for a night game. We've been there for an 11 a.m. game. We've been there for 1 o'clock games, but we've never been there for a 6 p.m. game. And I'm going to tell you, I have a feeling that the lights up there in, you know, central Iowa are probably spot on.
I suspect that they are very, very good. And I'm also looking forward to, for the first time in my recollection, going to William Penn for football and having pleasant weather, because usually it's inclement, it's cloudy, it's raining, it's muddy, it's usually just a mess up here. Yeah. And in basketball, it's usually no better because the snow drifts are usually about waist high.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it'll be kind of crazy to be in Oskaloosa, Iowa, where it is good weather. And, man, I'm telling you, I haven't even checked out the forecast in a few days. Let's look at it. Saturday, high of 93, clear, low of 73. So, again, it's going to be hot.
It'll be 90 degrees at kickoff time.
I'm telling you.
89.
And it's been hot up there all week. So, again, it's not like you're going to get to go north and have a little reprieve from the weather. So, William Penn, you tend to know what they do, right? I don't expect Coach Hafner to change anything after all this time as a head coach, and his son is the offensive coordinator, and he was a really good quarterback in his system. So, again, you got to expect that Penn's going to come out, run that double wing offense, and just try to beat the ball down your throat. Penn is a team that Benedictine really could have used on the schedule last year, right? Because you lost two games because of the conference dipping off the first 2 weeks.
Yes.
And the games you lost last year were Graceland and William Penn. Instead of 9-2, you could have been 11-2, right? So it would have looked a lot better on a record somewhere to have those two more wins. But, again, Benedictine playing a William Penn team that they've only ever lost to once.
And William Penn, watching them, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think I'm just so giddy and excited about a football game coming up that it doesn't matter who you're playing, but getting to see William Penn and getting to see that very odd, very unusual offense that we're going to see one time this year, and then we will see it again, you know, beyond Saturday. But it's a cool offense, and it can be a very effective offense if it's run well. And, you know, people who don't see it and don't understand it have a lot of trouble with it. It's effective.
Yeah, it is. It's very effective because it definitely changes your game plan. Because how many times do you go into a ball game and you're like, we're going to run this. Well, when you're playing Penn, you can't exactly do that because you've got to understand you're guaranteed 5 possessions, right? So all of a sudden, you have to make good on those possessions. Don't get me wrong, your defense can hold and you're going to get more possessions. But the way they run that offense, they're very slow. They're going to take their time getting the play in and out. I mean, they're going to limit the amount of time your offense has to football.
Scoring 45 points against this team is difficult.
It's very difficult because you just don't have that many opportunities to do it. And, I mean, William Penn is probably one of those teams that I enjoy watching because, again, they run that fullback. And this year they're bringing back, for like the 52nd year, Ben Sherman, their big fullback. It's 6'2", 240, and he runs the ball effectively between the tackles. And he's exactly what you want, right? You talk about 3 yards. And that's about all he's going to get. Every once in a while he's going to bust one off. But, I mean, yeah. So this is the kind of game where you talk about tackles and really helping your numbers. This is the kind of game where Jalen James could come away with
a dozen.
15 tackles, you know, because there's going to be a lot of things in the box and a lot of plays that he's going to have to make. And he's one of those guys that you feel really confident making those plays.
It's so exciting, you know, Benedictine again here on Care Radio. All their games all season live, and it's in 6 o'clock Saturday. The Heart of America Athletic Conference coaches got together and put out their Heart North and South preseason polls, and there are really no surprises at the top. I don't think there was a surprise much from top to bottom on either side, as Grandview was selected to win the North Division. They won the division in 2019. They won it in 2020. And they've had a share, at least a share, of the Heart North Championship in 5 of the last 6 seasons. So they are who you expect to be at the top of that division.
The year they didn't win it was the year that Benedictine went up there, beat them, and then went to the national title game.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that was the only year. And then, right after that, Benedictine turned around and moved to the South Division. And for the foreseeable future, let's talk about the North. Because for the foreseeable future, there is nobody that's going to push Grandview.
No, the only one is a team that was picked number 2, and that is Culver Stockton. And we just keep saying, for the last 30 years or so, I keep saying, Culver's about ready to turn the corner now.
Right.
They're doing some good things. You know, they redid their field. They got a pretty new field. Completely redid the doggone thing over the course of the summer. It's all new turf. It's all new everything. And you just keep thinking, this might be the year that they, you know, that they make a run at something, and then it just never happens. But I think the Culver's the only other team that could take a shot at it. Again, you got William Penn up there with Clark, Peru State, who's, I don't understand why they've fallen on hard times, and then Graceland.
Okay, but let's talk about a couple things in the North. So you look at the preseason polls, and you can pull a handful of things from it, right? You can pull that Culver Stockton is getting better, and they're starting to do the things we've always talked about. when Culver Stockton has started to get good, they lose their coach.
Always.
Right?
Yeah.
But Tom Sally has been there for a long time now, and by a long time, I mean, he's probably been there 8 years, I would say, 7, 8 years.
Maybe.
You know, maybe even a little more. And that's one of those things you have to do. You have to be able to get through a whole recruiting cycle, get your guys, and then get through that second recruiting cycle. And he's moving that way. But I think the couple things that I look at is, it's been a long time since Graceland has been a formidable opponent in this conference, right? They're picked last in the North Division. But Peru State, if I am Peru and I am Graceland, I'm asking some questions, because you've got a team like Clark, and now their second season is picked ahead of you in the conference. And so I think that's one of those things that you have to look at and maybe address something there, because I get it that Clark beat Peru only by one vote for that fourth place spot. But again, Clark, not a great team. Peru, Graceland, not good teams. You have Grandview, and then Culver and Penn are kind of those middle-of-the-road teams. You drop to the Heart of America Athletic Conference in the South Division this year. Faker got 5 of the 6 first-place votes and really got all 5 that they could.
Well, and here's the thing. The Baker, they're just a team to beat. I mean, Benedictine knows it. For the Ravens, that is the one game that you must win if you're really looking to be a legitimate contender in the postseason. Can you get to the postseason without winning that game? Yeah. The likelihood, you know, is much more remote. And if you want to lock yourself in and you want to go in with a little bit of enthusiasm and, you know, a little bit of momentum, you got to win that Baker game, because Baker has earned the outright or shared the heart south every year since 2015. Okay, 2014 was the last year that Baker did not finish at the top. Mid-America Missouri Valley shared the title, and those two teams have had crummy football for a decade. I mean, so that shows you how long it's been.
You know, you look at the standings and the preseason poll. How crazy is it to see your bottom two teams as Mid-America Missouri Valley? Right. It's been a minute since Valley's been any good, but Mid-America has fallen quite a ways in a short amount of time. Like, both those programs have, they were up towards the top. Like, the South was a good division at one time, but now Valley hasn't been good in a while. Mid-America hasn't been good in a very long time. Central Methodist, they are picked 4th in this conference, and I can't remember the last time Central Methodist was good, maybe 05, 06, maybe. You've got Evangel, who has been solid.
Here's the deal. Evangel had that one little spike.
Yeah.
Okay? That uptick.
Yep.
For lasted 2 seasons.
But the problem was,
and then went away.
They had an uptick, but they couldn't make the playoffs and couldn't capitalize off of it. Right? I mean, that was it. Like, you needed to make the playoffs those 2 years that you were good. And then they've kind of come back to earth a little bit. So, for Evangel, you want to talk about a program that's just kind of out there. They're okay. They're not good enough. They don't have a home field.
Well, you're touching on something that I was just going to go to. Think about how Evangel football has been. They've always been okay. I don't know if they've ever been really fantastic. I mean, with the exception of the Benedictine playoff game.
Yeah, 0-1 was probably their best season.
Yeah. That said, you know, they have played JFK Stadium when we first started playing them. Then they went to Plaster Stadium, Southwest Missouri. Then they went back to JFK Stadium. They bounced around a couple of high school stadiums. They were in Ozark for the past 6 or 7 years. Now Ozark has dumped them. This year, they're going to start playing in another high school football facility at Nixa, Missouri. Because again, Evangel has no football home. They keep saying, we're going to build one. They've got a piece of ground there where they tore down some of the military barracks when they used to have a lot of military on the campus and housed them there. And they've cleaned that out.
Straight across from the Ashcroft, right?
Yeah. And it makes a good place if you brought your dog with you, you know, to let him run and exercise and have some fun. But other than that, there's no home. And you got to have that identity. Coach Wilcox resolved that issue for Benedictine back in the 90s when they moved forward and, you know, moved from Amelia Earhart to their on-campus facility.
Yeah, you talk about recruiting and things like that. How difficult is it to recruit? Like, I think it wasn't as hard for Coach Wilcox because you said, hey, we're going to go over to Amelia Earhart Stadium, and it's, what, 10 blocks? Right? I mean, 10, 12 blocks. Instead, if you're a Evangel right now, you're like, hey, when we play home games, we've got to jump on a bus and go 20 miles south to get to wherever we're going to play. And I can't guarantee you that we're going to be at that stadium for your four-year career. I mean, if I'm a player, I'm looking around and going, huh, like, do I really want to be here? And I think that, honestly, that has probably hurt Evangel just a little bit.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. So we look again, the point being, at the Hart South, that leaves you with Baker and Benedictine as the two players in that division. And Baker's been, they've been able to have a handle on it. And the Ravens are a recent addition as the conference has, you know, reshuffled the North and South. So,
taking a look at the games going on this weekend in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, you've got a noon kickoff in Des Moines. And the game's over. Central Methodist is going to travel up to Grandview for a 12 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. The 1 o'clock game, better have left a long time ago. It's Evangel at Clark. So they're making the, what did we decide that is? Like 9-hour trip up to Dubuque?
Again,
9:10?
Farther. We talked about this. We did the math one time on a road trip coming home. It's farther for Evangel to go to Clark than it would be for them to go to Dallas.
Yeah. Crazy. 6 p.m. games around the conference. Missouri Valley is going to be home with Peru State. You're going to have Mid-America Graceland. The one game that I'm really keeping an eye on Saturday night while we'll be doing the Penn and Benedictine game is Baker Culver Stockton. If Culver Stockton is really going to be a player in this conference, they've got to probably not even hold water with Baker. They probably need to beat Baker.
It would be their one shot at, yeah. And Coach Sally is in his fifth year now for the Wildcats.
And so, for Culver Stockton, you've got a home game, home opener, night game, new turf. I believe this summer I saw that they got a new jersey design. You bring back a lot of pieces from last year's team, because that's going to be the other thing that we have to look at in the Heart of America Athletic Conference this year. So Culver Stockton played it really weird last year. They sat some guys. They didn't play a whole lot of games because they got into a whole lot of COVID problems. They sat some guys thinking, all right, well, we had some issues already. Let's set them, redshirt them. Then the NAIA says, hey,
everybody
didn't matter. Everybody gets another year. So it'd be interesting to see what teams bring back pieces from the previous years. But you talk about Culver Stockton, bring back one of the better quarterbacks in the conference in Corbin Markham. It'll be interesting to see what Baker brings back piece-wise. This is going to be the game that if Culver wants to prove they're going to be a part of this conference, that they can really compete, they've almost got to be Baker.
Everybody in the South has got to be looking at this one because they all want to know how good Baker's going to be.
Right.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, we'll be up in Oskaloosa, Iowa for a 6 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah. And so it should be kind of a fun game.
Quick look at the top 25 preseason polls. They don't change a whole lot from last year's postseason poll. Number one, the defending national champions, Lindsey Wilson. Number two, the runner-up, Northwestern Iowa. It's hard to see Northwestern in front of Morningside. It's been a minute. Morningside comes in three, Kaiser, Florida. Number four, Grandview is five, Concordia, Michigan six, Baker seven. You've got other teams rolling in there. There we go. St. Francis, Indiana at 16. Benedictine coming in at 17. You've got Arizona Christian that snuck up there. Avila, wow, in the top 25. They're going to come in at number 21 to start the season. And KW at 24, Southwestern Kansas at 25.
Right, so there are a lot of KCAC teams in this ranking with Bethel in there, Avila, Kansas Wesleyan, and Southwestern. Four teams out of the KCAC. I mean, three of them are in the bottom 20, but still, nationally ranked, so give them some props for that.
Yeah, in the preseason poll, you always kind of look at it because in the NAIA, there are going to be five teams that go undefeated probably this year.
Maybe.
I mean, it feels like every year there's a high number, I say. So those teams just aren't going to move. And it's difficult to jump up in the polls. So you really want to have a good starting point so that you can kind of build on that throughout the year. Because if you're starting out like a Southwestern at 25, tough to move up and get in that top 12. I mean, you really, to feel safe, need to be in the top 12 when the season ends.
Hey, tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things on Rapid Fire. We're going to talk about some things we're bringing up on the broadcast. We'll be back. More Sports Look right after this. Fourth final segment of Sports Look Episode 1 for this season. Welcome back, everybody. And Gus, as we look forward to some things going on, we're going to just reach back for just a moment and talk more Benedictine football. And this year, they are recognizing a number of teams with anniversary years of postseason play and some of the great teams, you know, the 91s and the 01s and the 11s and so forth. And with that in mind, Chris Tabor, we'll be talking about him, going to go into the Hall of Fame. But they're going to do that a little bit early. They're doing that next week because he's got this, like, day job that he's got to be at. So he's not going to be available for the October event that it's typically done.
Well, he only works for, like, what, 3 hours on a Sunday?
See, that's
so
it.
Is that a full-time job? Well, you'll have to ask
next
him.
I talk to him, I'm going to suggest that. Well, anyway, with this anniversary season and, you know, so many playoff years being recognized, our half times this season on the football games, we're going to be talking to members of some of those playoff teams and getting some of their thoughts, some of their memories, some of their reflections. And I tell you what, great guys, all of them. And the one we're going to have coming up Saturday is going to be Gus, the guy after your own heart, sporting at number 44.
Telling you, nothing like talking to a fullback week one, and especially that Penn week, right? You're going to have probably the leading rusher on the day being a fullback, so nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Brad Hubbard out of Lathrop, Missouri.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to be our halftime guest. We've got some guys that you're going to be, I think, very excited to hear from that we'll be talking to at halftime of the games over the year. And so we look forward to bringing you all of that. And quickly, Royals, you talked about them a little bit in the first segment. Now, at what, 56 and 70? I think that they can not lose 100.
Yeah, so that's a big question, right? I mean, that's really where you look at right now is we're not making the playoffs. There's no chance for a wild card. Your draft pick is going to be a top 8 pick anyway. So now the biggest goal is to try to avoid 100 losses, right? And so for the Royals, they're playing better after the All-Star break. But, again, it'll be interesting to see what they do with you know, September call-ups and things like that. Do you see any of those young guys? And
Bobby Witt Jr., that's the one they all want to see.
Yeah, everybody wants to see Bobby Witt Jr. Nick Prado is playing really well. MJ Melendez is smoking the ball for a catcher right now. So, again, a lot of pieces that the Royals fans want to see. And these are all guys I think you're going to probably see start the year with the big club next year.
So 36 games left, and the Royals would have to win 7 of those to not lose 100. Surely they can win 7 of 36. They're playing pretty well right now. They could win, you know, 15, 18 of them.
Yeah, you would like to think so, right? I mean, the way they've been playing lately, you would say yes. But again, I'm not going to put anything past a Royals team, but they are 7-3 over the last 10.
And they go out to the Mariners tonight, late ball game. I always loved the West Coast games, man. I just loved those 9-10 start for Kansas City, KC at Seattle.
And you talk about Seattle as a team who's still fighting for a playoff spot. They're 6 games back of Houston in the West, and I would have wished the Royals could have done a little more damage to Houston the last couple of days, but again, Kansas City's played pretty well lately.
And here I'm going to display my lack of knowledge and maybe my lack of interest. Can you name 3 players on the Mariners team?
No.
I'm thinking Ken Griffey Jr.
Griffey, Randy Johnson, Alex Rodriguez.
There you go.
You know, that's back when they were. Yeah, never mind.
Kansas City Chiefs are going to be playing Friday. It's going to be the final of the shortened preseason schedule, the final game of that, and they're going to be hosting the Minnesota Vikings flashback Super Bowl IV.
Yeah, and for the Chiefs, it's weird not having the 4 preseason games because you always knew starters didn't play 1 and they didn't play 4. And really in the first one, they would maybe play a series, and then by the 3rd game, they would play the whole first half and usually 1 series to start the second half. But without that 3rd game, or without that 4th game, it would be interesting to see now. Andy Reid the other day did say that you'll see the starters some. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. In the preseason so far, you've seen the offensive line work 52 snaps together. So, again, I don't really need to see much out of Patrick.
Very difficult, though, to judge. Maybe not necessarily for the Chiefs, but as much as it's going to be for some other teams. At what point do you have to quit evaluating and start implementing things and start, you know, getting that team to run together? I mean, there's the dance that they're working right now.
Yeah, and for the Kansas City Chiefs this year, how crazy is it? You look at that offensive line, they're going to go... Are they going to go 4 out of 5 guys that are new to the roster on
very,
the offensive
very
line,
likely.
Right?
Uh-huh.
They're going to go Orlando Brown at left tackle, Joe Tooney at left guard at the center. I wouldn't be shocked if it's probably going to be Creed Humphrey at this point, the rookie out of Oklahoma. Right guard is maybe a little bit of a question at this point. I think right tackle, you've got a good chance of seeing Lucas Niang, so maybe that right guard, you're going to see your sixth round. Who would have thought that? A sixth round draft pick is going to be your starting right guard and might be one of the steals of the draft in Trey Smith.
So it'll be interesting as the Chiefs have to trim down the roster after this week. And this is a big cut all the way down to the 53. I mean, they've still got a lot of guys on there and a lot of evaluating.
Yeah, because what? You went down to 80 the other day, and now you're going to have to go all the way down to...
Give me a big name that's going to not make it.
Oh, man. There's so many of them that I really don't think you're going
to... There are going to be some big names.
There are going to be some names. I don't think Jerick McKinnon is going to make it, and he's your running back that you signed from the 49ers in the offseason. Cornell Powell, your fourth-round draft pick out of Clemson. I don't know if he makes it. If he does, DeMarcus Robinson's not making this team because I think Kansas City is going to keep a lot of offensive linemen. And by that, 9...
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I mean, really. And you got guys like Kyle Long who are sitting on the PUP list.
He's coming
you know?
Back.
Yeah. So you're going to have a spot
for
him.
Will he start before the year's out?
Yeah. I think by the end of the season, yeah, he'll be starting. I wouldn't be shocked if you see Duvernay-Tardif not make this team.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the only problem
he doesn't get a little love just because?
I think if he makes this team, it's going to mostly be because he's okay. He's good enough. A lot of it's going to be because the story is too good from last year.
It's so good.
You know, I mean, and you don't want to be that team that cut the guy, right? But you got so much better at the offensive line that it's going to be tough. So I think receivers are going to be your problem. I also wouldn't be shocked if you lose Anthony Hitchens at the cutdown, right? Like, I was already shocked earlier this week, Monday, when the Chiefs cut Taco Charlton. I thought he was a guy to make this roster, and now I'm like, maybe it is the St. Louis kid and Colin Saunders instead. So, again, this last game, a lot of people don't like preseason games. I really enjoy them because I like to see some of these other guys that, you know, they talk about. And this is your chance if you're going to make it. All the guys that the Chiefs cut, and I say all of them, a very high number of them are going to catch on with a lot of teams around the NFL.
Yep.
And leave it to the Jaguars, right? They go up, trade back up to get Travis Etienne, the running back out of Clemson. And he has foot surgery, and he's going to be done for the year. So, yeah.
Chiefs week 1 against the Browns. So, there you have it. Hey, on our Radio Sports schedule, high school football will begin next week for the Benedictine Ravens. We're going to be underway Saturday evening. Oskaloosa, Iowa, pregame on Cario at about 5:30 and a 6 o'clock kickoff, Ravens and William Penn. Want to thank you for having joined us. We'll be back here every week at this same time to bring you Sports Look here on Care Radio, brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank. Till we reach you from Iowa, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.